Well, today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church. Hope your day is going very well today. And I wanted to do a kind of a standalone message today and talk a little bit about Samson and some lessons that we can learn from Samson. When I preached this message in my church some time ago, prior to giving this message, I sent out a message on Facebook and I asked people to answer a question for me. And I asked them to kind of fill in a blank. Jesus became real to me, ... So I asked them to fill in that blank, when Jesus became real to me. So I want to give some of those responses to you, and I want you to think about that question. When has Jesus become real to you? So Lisa wrote, Jesus became real to me when my husband and I met a pastor who showed us in the Bible how to be saved. Best day of my life. Robert said, Jesus became real to me when I was shot and left for dead. Robert's a friend of mine who's a chaplain, who serves at the Department of Corrections as a chaplain at one of our correctional centers in the Commonwealth of Virginia, and an amazing guy, was shot, but God had a different plan for him, and even though he was left dead, Jesus became real for him at that moment, and now he goes around and tells everybody what Christ has done for him. Margaret said, Jesus became real for me when I was led to Christ by my missionary cousin. Chris said, Jesus became real to me when I finally realized that no matter how hard I tried, I could not find peace in my heart without him. Crystal said, Jesus became real to me when I was baptized and I saw my daughters baptized. Lee said, Jesus became real to me when my neighbor started a Bible study and invited me to attend after the death of my mother-in-law. Fred said, Jesus became real to me in the foxholes of Vietnam as I was being shot at. Marty said, Jesus became real to me when I allowed him to be the Lord of my life. Jay said, Jesus became real to me while at Indian Creek Correctional Center. He said that my prayers to stop smoking after 38 years was finally granted. Deb said, Jesus became real to me after many, many invites to Hickory Ridge Community Church. Rob said, Jesus became real to me on my knees in a Memphis hotel. Terry said, Jesus became real to me when I was in high school and my parents separated. What? My perfect family was not what I thought it was. My world crashed and I felt all alone. I cried out to God and I felt his presence and he told me he would never leave us. You know, our Father tells us that we will never be alone. We are told that we should be strong and courageous, knowing as we learn from Deuteronomy 31:6, it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. And here's why. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I want you to know today that when you hurt, God hurts. Where we go, God goes. You think about devastation that may come into your life. I think about the historic storm, Hurricane Matthew, as that came through and did so much devastation. But our God is even stronger than any storm. Our God is able to overcome anything that comes against us. David said to God, when I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. Well, let's do that today, won't we? Let's put our hope and trust in God. When you look at the life of Samson, Samson had godly parents. Judges 13 through 16 records the life of Samson. When he was born, his parents named him Samson, and the Lord blessed him as he grew up. So here's some background information on Samson. He had godly parents. Samson was a judge, not like a judge that we think of today. In the Bible, judges were the leaders of the nation. Samson had a calling from birth that he was going to be involved in delivering Israel from the Philistines. That was Samson's calling. He was going to be a judge. He was going to be a deliverer of the nation of Israel. As you read the account of his life, you also see that there is a dark chapter in Samson's life. It's called the downfall with Delilah. Now, you might tend to think of Samson as one who wasted his life, that he was a failure, yet even still, he accomplished his God-assigned mission. He defeated the Philistines in his death. I want to look at some of the lessons that we can learn from Samson today and some of the characteristics that he had that caused his life to be weakened. You know, every one of us have an Achilles heel. Every one of us have areas of our lives that if we don't guard those areas, the enemy will hit us in those areas. And sometimes as we look at these areas, they're not always weak areas. Sometimes they could be strong areas that are not protected. As we look at Samson, he had a lot of strong characteristics. He was a Nazirite. He took the Nazirite vow. That means that he couldn't touch a dead person or a dead animal. That means that no wine could be on his lips. He could never consume alcohol. He was set apart for a very mission that God had for him. The strength was given to him, and to show the power of God, no razor was to go to his head. You see, he was set apart for a very special purpose. He was going to be the judge of the nation of Israel. God had big plans for him. God was going to use him in a very special way, but we see that there were characteristics in his life that was weak. When you think about character, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throne. This talent, and I got to be focused on this talent. You think about talents that God gives us. They are given to us. Some people can sing really well. Some are great athletes. Some people have talents to put car engines back together. Some people have talents with computers. It amazes me at the level of talent of people that I see. Every time I go to Indian Creek Correctional Center, I see all these beautiful murals on the wall, and I think, man, there's a lot of talent in this institution. I see how these guys can do some really creative things. Unfortunately, sometimes they use those for destructive things, and sometimes they use these talents to undermine the security of the institution. Just recently, we found some contraband, and we saw that an inmate had taken those file folder hangers, their metal hangers for file folders, and had taken one of those out and filed it down and made a little knife from that. And so now we can't have hanging file folders in the institution. You see, they had a lot of talent, but they're using it for the wrong thing. As we look at the story of Samson, what a powerful, powerful testimony of how not to live your life. I tell people all the time, your life is either going to be an example of how to live a godly life, or your life is going to be an example of how not to live a godly life. So let's look at some of these weaknesses that Samson had. Three characteristics that will weaken a person's life. Number one is self-indulgence. Self-indulgence will weaken your life. Accountability will strengthen it. So let's look at the story of Samson in Judges chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. This is the New Living Translation. One day when Samson was in Timnah, one of the Philistine women caught his eye. When he returned home, he told his father and his mother, "A young Philistine woman in Timnah caught my eye. I want to marry her. Go get her for me." Now his father and his mother objected. "Isn't there even one woman in our tribe among all of the Israelites that you could marry?" they asked. "Why must you go to that pagan Philistine to find a wife?" But Samson told his father, "Go get her for me. She looks good to me." Here we see that Samson is driven by the lust of the eyes. She looks good to me. We are told in the Bible that we should not be misled. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 says, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock God. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. So a weak person will offer up excuse. And their excuse is usually, well, it's just this one time, or it's not that big of a deal. So a weak person will offer up excuses for their self-indulgence. But a strong person is one who has somebody who will keep them accountable. A strong person will discipline their desires. They bring their desires unto the obedience of Christ. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, and this is the Message translation. If you want to go around doing whatever you think you could get by with, you will become a slave to your whims. Paul is saying, if you just follow the natural inclination of your life, just follow the lust of the flesh, if you just do whatever you want to do naturally, then you're going to become a slave to your whims. Proverbs 25, 28 says that a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. Samson gave into this self-indulgence and it weakened his life. The second thing that we learn from Samson is that bitterness and anger weakens your life. However, confession strengthens it. We ought to confess our faults one to another. And so many people think, well, if I confess my faults and people see how flawed I am, that will weaken my relationship with them. They won't trust me. They'll think lower of me. They'll lose any kind of respect for me. But you know, just the opposite happens. When we don't confess our sins, we have bitterness. But as we confess it, people respect us. People says, you know, I've seen this in your life, and I'm so glad you finally confessed it. I'm so glad you're finally going to be set free. Can I pray with you? Can I support you? Can I help you? You know, God has given us the body of Christ to support one another, not to judge one another, not to kick each other when we're down, but to support one another. Samson allowed bitterness and weakness and anger come into his life, and it actually weakened his life. Let's look at Judges 14, verse 19. Samson was furious about what happened. He went back home to live with his father and his mother. Samson said, "This time I cannot be blamed for everything I'm going to do to you Philistines." That's Judges 15:3. And I'm going to bring these all together for you in just a second. So hang with me, okay? Verse 7, Judges 15 says, "Because you did this, Samson," Samson vowed, "I won't rest until I take my revenge on you." Men of Judah, Judges 15:11, "Why are you doing this?" But Samson replied, "I only did to them what they did to me." So these verses that I just read is a synopsis of the bitterness and anger that we see in the life of Samson. He is furious because of what happened to him. And so he goes back to his father and mother. He's made a fool in front of the Philistines. And so he goes back to his mother and father. Then he, again, in chapter 15, he's blamed for what's going wrong. And so he says, "I'm going to get you, Philistines. You have done me wrong. You have embarrassed me. You have plucked out my eyes. You have treated me like a fool. I'm going to get you back." And then he says, even of the men of Israel or the men of Judah, they were making fun of him. And so he replied that, "I'm going to get you back too." So we see bitterness and anger throughout the life of Samson. He doesn't care who his anger is hurting. He says, "I don't get mad, I get even." So in one case, he captures 300 foxes. This is the first example. This is a funny thing, right? Somebody said, capturing these 300 foxes and setting their tails on fire is the first example of a true taillight. I know that's bad, okay. Forget that joke, okay? But a weak person will have this excuse. They started it. They made a fool of me, so I'm going to go capture their foxes. I'm going to tie their tails together. I'm going to light them on fire. You see, a weak person's excuses, they started it. Weak people rehearse their hurt, and they retaliate. They keep going over that hurt over and over and over again, and then they retaliate out of that hurt. Strong people, on the other hand, they restrain their actions, and they don't release their hurts, or they don't rehearse their hurts. They release their hurts. Proverbs 29:22 says, "An angry person starts fights. A hot-tempered person commits all kinds of sin." Proverbs 29:11 says, Fools give full vent to their anger, but the wise man will bring calm into the end. Every boss that I've ever worked for has been good examples or bad examples. I've had some bosses that were really angry people. They were very frustrated, and they took that out on the people that they worked for or worked for them. I've had other bosses that were very calm. Nothing seemed to bother them. I always liked to work around the bosses that nothing seemed to bother them. Maybe because I was one of those guys that was always messing up. And so it was great to have a boss that says, hey, don't worry about it. We'll get it fixed. We'll take care of it. They believed in me. As you think about anger and resentment, you know, strong people, they just restrain their reactions. They restrain them because they have released their hurts. One of the ways that you know that you're a person who has not released your hurts is that hurt keeps hurting other people. It keeps bubbling over into the lives of other people. Well, here's a third lesson that we can learn about Samson and how his weakness really hurt his life. He had a character flaw in that he was very careless. Carelessness weakens your life. Accountability strengthens your life. Let's look at Judges chapter 13, verses 3-5. The angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah's wife and said, be careful. You must not drink wine or any alcoholic drink, nor eat any forbidden food. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and his hair shall never be cut. For he will be dedicated to God as a Nazirite from birth. He will begin to rescue Israel from the Philistines. So here the angel is appearing unto Manoah's wife and saying, you're going to have a son. And he's going to take the Nazirite vow. And just in case you have forgotten what that involves, he's not going to drink. He's not going to have any food that he should not have, any unclean food. And as you have this son, and as he is born, you're never to cut his hair. He's going to be dedicated as to God as a Nazirite from birth. And then he's going to begin to rescue Israel from the Philistines. Well, then we go on to Judges chapter 16. We see that Samson is starting to be a little bit careless in his life. Sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, entice Samson to tell you what makes him so strong and how he can be overpowered and tied up securely. Then each of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. We go down to Judges chapter 16, verses 16 through 17. It says, she tormented him, nagging her day after day until he was sick to death of it. Finally, Samson shared his secret. We scoot on down to Judges 16, verse 19. Delilah lulled Samson to sleep with his head in her lap, and then she called in a man to shave off the 7 locks of his hair. In the same way she began to bring him down, his strength left him. Then she cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. When he woke up, he thought, I will do as before. I'll shake myself free. But he didn't realize, and this is such a sad sentence, he didn't realize that the Lord hath left him. Some translation says that the glory of God departed from him. There's a word that is used in the New Testament called Ichabod. God's glory has departed. But Samson didn't even realize it. So the Philistines came and they captured him. They gorged out his eyes. They took him to Gaza, where he was bound with bronze chains and forced to grind grain in the prison. So here's what a weak person will do. A weak person will say, it will make no difference to me how I live my life. A careless person doesn't think about cause and effect. A careless person just goes about their will. Those who say to God, thy will be done, are the ones who realize God's will is going to be done. Those who say, my will is going to be done, will experience their will being done, but they suffer the consequences. A weak person will drop their commitments. A strong person is driven by their commitments. Samson should have been driven by his commitment to be a Nazirite. He should have understood the depth of God setting him apart and wanted to use him for a very sacred purpose. I mean, how many parents are visited by an angel of the Lord giving them instructions about what their son is going to accomplish? Manoah and his wife, they knew exactly what Samson was going to do. They dedicated him to the Lord. They kept that Nazarite vow with Samson. Unfortunately, Samson dropped his commitments. In 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, those who come alongside when you go through hard times, and you know that's going to happen. They're going to come alongside you. Someone else is going to go through hard times so that that person God sends just for us at the right time. You say, why did I read that verse in that context? The reason we ought to be living a life that is careful and we ought to be committed to our commitments is because God wants to send people into our lives. And God can't send people into our lives that we can bless if we have been careless. I think there's many people that could be blessing other people financially, but they've been very careless with their money. Because they've been very careless with their money, they can't even take care of their own bills, let alone be a blessing to somebody else. I think so many people could be a blessing to others because of a powerful testimony that they have, but they keep messing up. They keep going back and living a careless life, and so their testimony is not powerful. So many people have an opportunity to be a blessing to other people. But because their life is lived so in a haphazard way without discipline, they lose opportunities to bless people. When you look at the New Testament doesn't list Solomon's failures, nor does it talk about his incredible acts of strength. Hebrews 11 names him in the Hall of Faith among those who, and this is in quotes, through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, whose weakness was turned into strength. So this proves right here that God can use people of faith no matter how imperfectly their lives may be. But how much more could have it been a blessing to Samson and to his family? If we could have used Samson as an example of how to overcome the lust of the flesh, he could be up there with Joseph. We learn from Joseph how not to succumb to the lust of the flesh. When Joseph was being tempted by Potiphar's wife, he ran. Oh, would to God Samson had run away from Delilah. But he kept flaunting and he kept tempting and he kept putting himself in a bad position. You know, we look at Samson and we discover that he was infatuated with Delilah. And we consider him as gullible, maybe stupid even. I mean, his lust for Delilah blinded him to her lies and to her true nature. And as we read this story, we said, how in the world could somebody be so gullible? He wanted so badly to believe that she loved him so that he repeatedly will fall for her deceptive waves. After that third attempt at luring out his secret, why didn't Samson catch on? By that fourth enticement, he crumbled. He gave in. Why didn't he learn? Why did he give in to temptation? Why didn't he just fight that battle? Because Samson is just like you and just like me. When we give ourselves over to sin, we are giving ourselves over to the enemy. We are blinded to the truth. What should be really clear to us becomes clouded. Well, I have one last thought that I wanted to share with you as we wind on our broadcast today. How is God calling you today? If your life is spinning out of control, I want you to get it right now on the right track. You see, I can't be spinning out of control in one area of my life and going in the right direction in another area of my life. James says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. If God is calling you to do something special, there's going to be a time of preparation. Who are you bitter toward? What unresolved issues are you facing today? Listen, don't be afraid to go confront people. If somebody is hurting you, go to that person. I think so many times we have perceived hurts. We're holding on to this hurt that somebody else has allegedly caused in our lives. And really what they did was not a major infraction. But because we have thought about it so long and for so hard and for so intensely, now that hurt is now turned into bitterness. Why don't you go to that person and be set free? When was the last time you felt God's presence in your life? Listen, he walks with us and he talks with us and he shows us what his will is for our lives. When was the last time you really felt his presence in your life? When was the last time that God delivered you from something in your life? God is a God of deliverance. So I want to close our broadcast today by praying for you. Praying that you will not have these weak areas in your life. praying that they will actually turn into strengths in your life. So Lord, we come before you today. We thank you for the example of Samson. We pray that we will not allow self-indulgence to weaken our lives. We pray that we will have accountability that can strengthen our lives. We pray that we will not allow bitterness and anger to weaken our lives, that we will confess that so that we can be strong and that we can receive God's grace. We pray today that we will not be careless in how we live our lives, that we will be giving into accountability and that we will be strong in our lives. We come before you realizing that we are faulty people, that we fall short of your glory so often in our lives. So Lord, we pray today that you fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us not to be given into the lust of the flesh or the pride of life. Help us not to be given into any of the sins of our world, but help us to realize that in Christ, we are more than conquerors. And Lord, we give you the glory for what you're going to do for us, in us, and through us today. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.